Thank you for everybody who is here today. Just remember, I have to speak to those of our elders, and I have to speak to our children as well. So this lesson is not just prepared for those who are just trying to receive something for themselves. It's going to include everybody. And so for today, the title of my sermon is Mission Over Position. Say it with me. Mission Over Position. That is very important that we understand that as a church, that we have a mission and we cannot get drunk. We cannot get stuck in our position. And that's what we normally do, right? We receive a position and we're like, okay, I'm happy. I'm comfortable. I'm content. But see, God has a mission, even if it is to moonwalk on little kids. You know, it's for Jesus, not for me. So, let us bow our head in prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for what you have already done, Lord. And I'm just thankful for what you will do today, Lord. You've brought many people here today for your purpose. And we're all here, Lord, and you've given me the opportunity to speak, Lord, and you're speaking through me. So, Lord, I pray that we have open ears, open minds, open hearts, ready to receive your word, Lord. No matter where each individual are right now, Lord, I pray that the Spirit will come upon them, that your victorious right hand will hold them, and that they will feel your Spirit today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, mission over position. Say it with me. Mission over position. That's very important. And see, I got the opportunity to talk about David. David is a great character. He's very famous. A lot of people know the story of David. And if you don't know, wow, isn't it great that you're here today? Because we get to talk about Jesus, right? Or David, more importantly. But, so yeah. Mission over position. Each position that you take part in life is temporary. Some of you guys are like, I've been working this job for 35 years. I'm ready to retire. True. But guess what? You're ready to retire, meaning that it was temporary. So no matter where you are, where you're sitting, it's temporary because you will go sit somewhere else in about 3 hours. I'm playing. No, our service is not that long, just 2 hours. Look, y'all like, he funny. I got something to do. I got work. I got this and that. But motion, movement, momentum is very, very important when we're talking about our God. We have a moving God, amen? See, you don't get things done by standing still, by sitting where you're at. You don't get things done. That's why God is constantly moving. He has momentum and he builds it up. And see, God wants you to be moving with him, generally in a direction that is upward and forward. I want you to think where you are today. And I'm not talking about like, yeah, we're in church, but where are you today? In today's world, where are you? Think about how you have developed yourself as a young man, as a young woman, as a grandfather, as a mother, an uncle, a cousin. Think about the hoops you had to jump through to be who you are today. Think about the sacrifices you had to make. Think about the people you had to let go out of your life. Think about some of the things you had to keep and hold on to, dear to your heart. See, some of us want to be stagnant. Some of us want to be passive, still, comfortable, and predictable. Remember that word predictable, because I will visit later and it will become a relevant part in this sermon. So remember that word predictable. We are going to come back to the word a little bit later, but remember movement. If you know where you're headed, if you know where your talents are wanted, if you know where your God-given gift is needed, you will spend more time pursuing God's calling, God's purpose, God's goal upon your life than thinking about the current position that you're in today. Well, God, I barely have any money in my pocket today. I don't know if I want to give tithing. Oh, my mother doesn't love me. My relationship is going bad. How am I supposed to serve you, God, when I have all this stuff on my mind? Remember, if you know where God's calling is calling you, if you understood that, you'll pursue the mission instead of worrying about your position. Amen? So where are we, church? Where are we? See, I asked many of the youth group students. If you guys don't know, my name is Isaiah Coleman. I'm the youth pastor here. I'm not just some random black guy on stage. I promise. Like, you guys have put me in this position. God has called me, you know, here. But I ask students all the time, where are you going? What do you want to be in life? Where is God calling you? Say, no. Where are you going? Affair. Say it again. Affair. I think that's what he said. Hey, parents. If your kids are able to speak, mama, dada, you need to start talking to them now. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? Nurture them. Ask them. Why? Why? Teachers do this all the time because it taps into a part of the brain that motivates them. Everybody likes talking about themselves, right? Yeah, we all like talking about ourselves, especially kids. But even as Christians, we like talking about our own self. We like getting the praise, getting the glory. So ask kids, where do you want to go? What do you want to be in life? And then once they tell you where they want to go and where they want to be, help them, motivate them, push them. Children, hey, here. You guys are meant to be something. All children, you guys are supposed to go somewhere. God has a plan. He has a calling upon your lives. You want to go to Florida? Love you, Liam. So together, we need to build momentum. We need to build movement. Parents, do not allow your kids to feel like they are worthless. Children, do not feel like because of your age, because of how old you are, because of how small you are, you cannot do something. Because all of you can make a difference. And because of you kids, look at your parents. Children, look at your parents. Look at the people who brought you here today. Because of you, they are here with us in a body. Look around. No, I'm serious. Let's look around. Look at this. Look how beautiful this is. People from different communities, people from the community are all here today. Our church is not always filled like this. But because of the children, they made a difference, right? Yes. And so you guys are here today because of them. Now, what if you are here every Sunday because of God? Last week, Mel introduced the story of David. I know David too. David was the youngest out of Jesse's 8 sons. Jesse's a father. He has 8 sons. Matt, where you at? I don't know if Matt is here, but we love Matt wherever he's at. Peace be upon the Frankies. David worked in the fields. He was a shepherd boy. And that was his upbringing. And he took his job serious. David was a hard worker. David didn't just do things for himself. And that's the problem with some of us today. We just do things for ourselves. We don't do things for others. But see, David took care of his father's sheep, cattle. He was a shepherd. So God realized David's hard work. And David did things in the name of the Lord. So God chose David to be anointed as king. But there was somebody in his way, and his name was Saul. Saul was the king that was anointed before David, but Saul decided to jump off the deep end and just kind of started to defy God. And so what we realize is that when you please God and you worship God, he will elevate you to a position. But once you decide that, hey, I can do it on my own and I don't have to listen to you, he will bring you back down and he'll humble you, right? We've all been up here, and then out of nowhere we're here. And we're like, whoa, what just happened? And so David has now become anointed with oil on his forehead to be king, but he has Saul. So Saul is the king of Israel right now. And Saul is getting prepared for war against the Philistines. Children, do you guys know what war is? It's a battle. It's a battle. And war is a sacrifice. And do you know what has to be sacrificed in war? Lives. So Saul is ready to put lives on the front line to fight against the Philistines. And so, chapter 17, verse 4. Oh, wow. You guys are not going to be able to read that. That's okay. Because, see, if you brought your armor of God, if you brought your weapon, right? And don't worry, we prepare you guys, because there's a Bible in front of the pew that you're sitting on. Just look ahead of you, and there's a Bible. So anyway, you know, some of you guys are fancy. Ooh, I got a cell phone. I got my Bible app. I can use my Bible app. Ooh, that used to irritate me. Youth group kids would take out their phone, put it away. Yeah, send your children my way. We going to get them. Yeah, they going to know what's up. Anyways. Chapter 17. Sorry, 1 Samuel. Chapter 17, verse 4. And we're going to do some skipping around because I don't have all day. I mean, I do have all day, but I know you don't have all day, right? So we're going to skip around some verses and get to the point of the story. Chapter 17, verse 4, starting verse 4. So remember, Saul is preparing for war against the Philistines, right? War is coming. Lives are going to be sacrificed. And it says, then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. You know, I've faced some big giants, but 9 feet tall. Children, can you imagine 9 feet tall? That's a big dude. It says, Goliath stood, verse 8, so we spoke in chapter 4, now verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Jackson, come here. Oh, Lincoln, come here. Lincoln, come here. You want to fight me? He said no. Good answer. I'm Goliath. That's David. Remember that. But that is how the Israelites fell. The army of Israel seen Goliath. They seen something that was too big, too tall, too strong. And they were deeply, in the word it says, deeply shaken. Verse 17. Skip down to verse 17. One day, Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah, I think I'm saying that right, fighting against the Philistines. So David's brothers, three brothers, right, they went to Saul's army camp, push-ups, they're strong, they're ready for war, and now they're with Saul. Jesse sends him with the basket of bread. Hey, go feed your brothers, go deliver the basket, you know what I mean? The army has pizza delivery. Go bring them food, and then come back to me and tell me how they're doing. That's all David was to do. He was a delivery boy. That was his position for the day, to go deliver the goods and report back. That is it. David gets to the ranks, and he sees Goliath. It's hard to miss somebody. You know, 9 foot tall, it's hard to miss him. And he sees Goliath taunting the army once again. So when you taunt the army, David took it as, you're taunting my God. See, the army, it was the body of Christ in Israel. And Goliath was taunting that and saying, you guys are cowards. Yeah. Let me go a little deeper. David overheard Saul talking about, if any man were to kill Goliath, he'll make any man rich, he'll give them his daughter, and their family, the family will be tax-free if they kill Goliath. So David became concerned. He was like, hold on, wait, what? You mean we take him out and my position change, right? So David can go from a shepherd boy to somebody of royalty. David was not called by Saul to do anything. He was only there to deliver bread. Let me go a little deeper. This is going to mess you guys up. First point, if you guys take notes, I don't know if people take notes in here, but if you take notes, move. First point, I said again, move. Can you hear me? Yes, yes. See, when God is moving, you hear about it. David was sent only to deliver the bread basket and report back to his father. But once David heard that some uncircumcised man, the Philistine, was talking about his God, talking about the army of God, this is what David said. He said, David talks to Saul, and Saul goes, little boy, you're too small, you can't fight, like, you're not prepared, you haven't did the training, you're not ready for war. You know, like, you're not ready, you're just a kid. And remember, kids, what I was telling you guys is that you have the power to make a difference. Hey, if you are in elementary school, I'm letting you guys know, if you are in middle school, if you are in high school, if you are in college, you have the power to make the difference. You guys, we are the generation to come. David says no. I mean, Saul says no. And David pleads with him. He says, in verse 34, Verse 34, if you guys are there, it says, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it. He says, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to the pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of lions and the bears will rescue me from the Philistine. Amen? This gets me pumped up because I heard it. I was like, woo! Oh, come on, talk, David. Talk to me. Some of us are in the mouths of lions and bears. I don't know who you are today, but I know how it feels to be trapped and then be in the jaws of a lion and a bear and feel like if this lion or bear was to crush down on me much harder, it would be a wrap. Yeah. But we too have a David that comes and rescues us and delivers us from the jaws, from the mouths of a beast that want to overtake us, empower us, and devour us. See, one thing we all need to realize today. God will bring you places you never thought you would be. God will put you in people's lives you never thought you would meet. God will place you in the right position at the right time. Oh. God will provide what is needed for you to succeed, but you have to be ready to move. I say it again. You have to be ready to move. Some of us have been stuck like a deer in the headlights. But when we see the giant, when we see that animal, that ferocious beast, we're stuck. And we don't know what to do. See, David, this is the cool thing about David. He practiced defeating giants. He practiced overcoming bigger obstacles. Goliath wasn't David's position. He was David's opportunity. Y'all, you guys are not catching it. Let's wake up. No, we're not getting it. Let me say it again. Goliath wasn't David's position. He was David's opportunity to be a king. Amen? See, Goliath was meant for Saul, and Saul was king. But see, he was shaken, deeply shaken. God will put you in a place that other people cannot do. He will put you in a position to succeed where other people can't. And you have to be ready and excited to move in that direction. When I ask the question, where do you want to go? Adults, where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What dreams are you not accomplishing? And you're like, well, I don't know. You know, I have four kids, you know, I'm working. Like, I just don't know. You want me to tell you where the evidence is? Where you're supposed to go? Where your calling is? It's in your past. Because see, what you do in private, what you practice in your past is destined for you in your future. See, David practiced overcoming giants. And so when he faced the next giant, he was ready to move. It was never about the position. Just being a shepherd boy, it was never about just being a king. It was about the mission that God is calling us to do, that God is calling for us. So, if you write down notes, if you text it, I don't know. But write this down. If you are searching for evidence of your future, Once again, if you are searching for evidence of your future, take a look in your past because the clues are revealed there. Let's go on to, yep, there we go. It's already on the board. So Saul says, all right, whatever, you can have it. You go to war, little boy, do your thing, whatever. I don't care because somebody needs to take down Goliath. Then Saul gave David his own armor. Saul took off his helmet, his coat mail, and he put it on David, strapped on the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like. David was like, this is heavy. And then he says, I can't go in these. Children, say, I can't go in these. Children, one more time. I can't go in these. See, the world will try to give you things that they feel is appropriate. The world will try to tell you what you can and cannot do. And then they'll try to put barriers in your life and say, these are the parameters that you have to function in. Because you are too short, you can't make it to the NBA. So you have to get taller first. Or because you have anxiety and depression, you cannot be a counselor. The world will try to put parameters around you and tell you what you can and cannot do. But David said, I cannot go in these. So he protested to Saul, I'm not used to them. So this is what David did, man. So he took them off. He picked up 5 smooth rocks from a stream and put them in a shepherd's bag, using the tools that he already has. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistines. One thing I'm going to need you guys to say with me. I'm going to say it and you guys are going to say it. Do not become predictable. Say it with me. Do not become predictable. One more time. Do not become predictable. Do not become predictable. Well, where is he going with this? Wow. Thank you for asking. Why do you think we say God works in mysterious ways? Why do you think we say that? Because God will have you scratching your head and being confused out of this world. Like, how could God use a little poor boy from Sacramento, California to be standing on a stage in front of all you folk? Yeah, I'm confused too. But hey, I'm here in the yoga and I'm going to not worry about my past position, but worry about my future mission. Amen? So God will only elevate you to a new position when you're able to hold on to the mission. So when Goliath seen David, he was confused. When Goliath seen a little boy, Goliath is thinking he's going to see somebody like Keith. Keith, you want to fight me? Exactly. That is the Israelites are like, no, I don't want to fight this dude. Not at all. So when Goliath came over and he sees this little boy, he is confused. He's like, what? Say it with me. Do not be predictable. One more time. Do not be predictable. Because God is going to hit you with something that is unpredictable. Goliath did not see a sword. He did not see a shield. He did not see a helmet. So he thought that this battle was won. I got this little boy. Oh, it's easy. It's a wrap. You guys are my slaves. I won. Wake up. Wake up. This is how the enemy looks at you when you do not accept the word of God in your life. When you are able to live a life that is not pleasing to God, the enemy will look at you as if you don't have a shield. You do not have a sword. You do not have anything to protect yourself. That better be Jesus. I love doing that. I really love doing that. But anyways, this is how the enemy looks at you when you don't have God in your life. When you refuse to put on the armor of God. When you refuse to worship our Father. When you think that, hey, I can go into battle on my own. Even though you are ready to be scared and you're deeply shaken of what is about to hit you. See, before you receive, listen up, I need you guys to get this. I need you guys to get this because this is going to hit home for some of us. Before you receive your greatest blessing, God is going to give you your greatest testing. Let me say it again. Before you receive your greatest blessing, God is going to give you your greatest testing. See, you took the quizzes. Teachers, right? Quizzes go before the test. When you pass the quizzes, you're acing. Sometimes that final exam, that final exam that you take is the hardest one. But once you pass it and you receive, it might be a C. It might be an A because we don't fail here, right, kids? We don't fail. But once you receive that grade and you are happy, you can stand tall. And you say, thank you, God. Thank you for giving me those quizzes. Thank you for preparing me. Because see, if you didn't prepare me for that, I wouldn't be ready for this. Let me go a little deeper. Too much is given, much is. One more time. Too much is given, much is expected. Meaning that God is not going to give you anything you're not ready to handle. I know life can hit you right in the face. I've been there with you. I understand how it feels to be hurt and feel like I can't do nothing right now. I am stuck. I don't have a dime to my pocket to feed my kids. I am sick. I am tired. I work all day. Lord, where do you want me at? I know. But God is not worried about your position. He is not worried about where you have and haven't been. He will honor your mission because you honor His mission. Amen? So when He calls you, be ready to move. And do not sit there predictable. And that's where I fall short because I've been too predictable for the enemy. And I walk out there and the enemy sees the same thing. And he sees the same way I attack him. And he defeats me the same way. But when you go out there and you change it up. And you have a spirit like a child of God. And you say, I am not going to be predictable. I am not going to sit in the same spot. And I'm going to move. That is when God's going to honor your mission. That is when He's going to move you and He's going to shake you. He's going to tell you, stop sitting where you are. Go out there and go be something different. Be something different for your children. You guys are an army of God. But as soon as you get deeply shaken, you are scared. And it is hard to look at yourself in the mirror because you see your kids are looking at you. You see your grandkids are looking at you. And you'd be like, what have I done? Where have I went? I have nothing to show. As long as you still have lungs in your heart. As long as you still have air in your body and your heart is beating, you have a mission. You have a calling. Amen.